John chapter 6. John chapter 6. God has given to us through the Apostle John some great writings. I remember in school we called them the Johannine writings. He's given us the Gospel of John, which is an emphasis upon salvation. Come to the close of that book and it says, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name." He's given us the epistles of John, which deal with sanctification, the growth in the Christian life. When I lead a person to the Lord, I always, most always take them to the book of 1 John, because it gives them the assurance. These things are written, it says, in the Gospel of John, in Epistle of John, these are written that you might know you have eternal life. That blessed assurance to know that you're on your way to heaven. And of course, the revelation of John and the revelation of Jesus Christ and all of his glory and all of his majesty. But here in the 6th chapter of John is a very important passage of Scripture. And the reason I say that is because every gospel writer records this incident in the life of our Lord. So I'm sensing that it is important if every writer has written about it. As I study the life and ministry of our Lord, I am impressed at the fact that he never did anything or said anything without a purpose. We sit around sometimes and we chit-chat, do we not? I cannot imagine that our Lord sat around and just chit-chatted. Now, this passage of Scripture, he's going to teach his disciples a great, great lesson. We don't have time to deal with all of it. But the lesson he is teaching them is about himself, about his attribute that he is the bread of life. We find that in the context of this 6th chapter. And he goes about it in a very unusual way to bring his disciples to begin to think his thoughts after him. And so I pick up the reading in verse 1, and I'll read a few verses here. "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now notice verse 6. This is important. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." I wish you had stopped right there. Notice that next word, "but." "But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." And there was much grass, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. There's 3 important things that stand out in this passage of Scripture. Number 1, the presentation closed with vision. And we see that the Lord lifts up his eyes and he sees the multitude. If there's one thing we need today, is a vision. And I think that vision has to be biblically centered. That vision has to be according to the Word of God. It's not just getting a vision and just running off in some direction. When I think of vision, I think of the word faith. Faith in order to follow the vision that God has given. We think of Noah. God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah had a vision of how that ark would be built. And he labored building that ark for 120 years. And people were coming by and saying, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What do you need an ark for? Well, it's going to rain. What is rain? You see, it took a lot of faith to do that. A lot of faith to do exactly what God gives us to do. I remember when God called us in Alaska, we ended up in a village 650 miles from Anchorage. You couldn't see too good in the presentation, but we ordered our groceries once every 6 months from Seattle. We were so far away from everything else. It was easier to order from Seattle. When I saw, I didn't preach with a jacket, but I often preached with nice slacks. When they finally needed cleaning, you know how I got them cleaned? I'd pack them in a box, take them to the post office, mail them to Anchorage. The cleaners would clean them, pack them in a box, and mail them back to me. Our oldest daughter was barely 3 months old when we went to that village. We went there by faith, because a lot of people say, you can't take her to that remote place. Where is the nearest doctor? And I'd say 650 miles, especially the grandparents. Oh, you know how that is. Taking that little baby to where there's no doctors, what are you going to do when she gets sick? We're going by faith. That's where God has given us a vision for. That's where God is leading us. That's where we're going. And we're going by faith, following the Lord. So I'm praying that God will give you a vision of what God would have you to do. I believe that God has a purpose. As I mentioned before, God saved you for a purpose. And if he were through with you, he'd have taken you on to glory the moment you were saved. But he left you here for a purpose. And you need to find out what that purpose is and get involved in what God would have you to do. You see, you have not fulfilled your life until you're doing all, as a Christian, all that you can to fulfill God's purpose in your life for leaving you here. And I'm praying, if you've never had that vision, if God has never worked in your heart that way, that he'll do it today. Our Lord lifts up his eyes and he sees this multitude of people. What is he going to do? Now, I believe, without question, and I'm sure you do too, that at the snap of his finger, he could have fed those 5,000 plus of women and children. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to use his disciples. And he's still choosing to use his disciples to get the bread to the people. Mind you, the bread of life to the people. He still chooses to do that. He chooses all kinds of people. You know what I'm amazed at? I'm amazed that God blesses people that I don't agree with. But he does, you know? And there's some people doing things that I wouldn't do and I don't agree with, but God uses them. And I'm thankful for that. God uses the foolish things. And I see a lot of foolish things. And God uses that, because people have a vision and God uses them. And so our Lord wants to get the bread of life to the multitudes who he sees. He has a vision of them and he wants to get the bread of life to them. How is he going to do it? Well, Mark, and we won't turn there to Mark chapter 6, Mark records this same thing. And Mark puts a little more detail in it. And Mark says that when the Lord lifted up his eyes and he saw the multitude of people, He was moved with compassion in his heart. He was moved with compassion. I'm sure that you've done this. You sat and watched a film or a television program, and it's one of those tear jerkers. They rate them by hanky, one hanky, two hanky, three hanky. But have you ever been moved with compassion because someone is lost and on their way to a crisis eternity? Someone has said, compassion is your hurt in my heart. And as our Lord saw the multitude of people, he saw them not as the disciples saw them, because the disciples could not look into their heart. You know, I've been to a lot of missions conference, and there's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of presentations and pleas and so on. And sometimes there is some people who respond, and they get all excited about missions, but it doesn't last very long. But if God really gets a hold of your heart, it'll last. He was moved with compassion. He saw them as I mentioned in the previous session, he saw them as faint, as scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Here's the situation. The multitude of people, the day is far spent, the scripture says. Can you imagine that? They've been traveling all day. There's women and children. Children are hungry. They're irritable. What a terrible situation. What a crisis, really, situation they find themselves in. They're tired, they're weary, they're hungry, but there's no McDonald's. So what's going to happen? Our Lord has a plan. Wasn't that what he said in verse 6? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, our Lord is never caught off guard. You know that? Our Lord never looks over the battlement in heaven and says, boy, I didn't think Earl Barnett would do that. He's never caught off guard. He has a plan. He has a plan today. He had a plan for those disciples. If those disciples would just get into his plan, then he could feed the multitude. Today, if you and I would just line up with his plan, then we could get the bread of life to the multitude. That's what he's teaching here. His heart is moved with compassion. So he turns to his disciples to get them involved. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip reaches in his pocket and starts counting his money. That mentality is today in the federal government especially. They think the more money you pour onto it, the more, you know, we better not go there. But anyway, he reaches in his pocket and said, 200 pennyworth is not enough that they all may eat. Another one of the disciples says, there's a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Our Lord was moved to compassion. He's moved with a vision, moved to compassion. Now notice how he acts here. A little lad with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know who the unsung hero of this passage is? The mother. Think about it. That little boy didn't go to his mother and say, now, I'm going out today. Would you pack me a lunch? I can't imagine him doing that. He didn't do that. Here's a mother that was doing what mothers do. She provides for her children. And she knew he was going to be out. out that day. I'm sure that that mother had no idea that God was going to take this little lad's lunch and bless it and feed 5,000 plus of women and children. But listen to this. She was faithful to do a mundane thing that she needed to do. You get the lesson there? You be faithful to do the mundane thing that may seem mundane to you that God gives you to do. So what does the Lord do? He tells him to sit down. He takes the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and blesses it, and the table is spread. No. That isn't what the scripture says. He blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples. And they give in turn to the multitude. And what happens? Everybody's fed. Everybody's satisfied. We don't have time to deal into the words. I love word studies, and there's words here that indicate so vividly that they were completely satisfied as much as they would eat. That expression there. It means that they were full. You know, I don't like to go to these places. We saw one yesterday. It said, all you can eat. I don't like to go to those places because I see people eat more than I can eat, and I think I'm getting cheated. And so I don't like to go to those places. But these people ate all that they could eat. They were full. God fed them. And God got the bread and the fish to them through the disciples. A vision, a compassion, and an action. The bread of life, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He was teaching his disciples to give forth that bread, which if man would eat, he would never hunger again. As he speaks of the water of life, partake of that, you never thirst again. May God give you a vision. May God grip your heart with compassion. And may you be moved by the Holy Spirit of God to do what God wants you to do. This little lad, what a lesson. He was so unselfish. You know, that's not the nature of children. You know that. If you've had any children, you know that's not the nature. Sharing is really not the nature. In fact, I remember my wife telling me, come home and tell me, said, you should have heard Joel today. He was hollering at his sister. He said, don't you know that the Lord loves sharing? I don't know where he got that. But he was hoping that they would share with him. But it's just not in the nature to share, is it? But he shared his lunch. You notice, he didn't just share part of it. He shared all of it. That's all he wants of us. He just wants all of us. You see, the scripture says we're bought with a price, we're not our own. Therefore, we're to glorify God in these bodies, which are whose? His. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? I trust God will speak to your heart today. Are you giving him your all? This little lad, 5, 2. He didn't say, maybe I ought to keep back one fish and one loaf of bread. Because these people just said they're going to eat. No, he didn't think that way. You see how God works in the lives of young hearts? It's been a blessing to my heart to see that in children, how God works in their heart. No wonder the Lord tells us we ought to be little children, you know, because he works that way oftentimes. In those tender hearts, may our hearts be tender to him working in us and through us for his glory.